Praise the Lord. Well, I want to probably start something tonight. Not like that. I'm going to start something tonight. You know, sometimes you put these messages together, then you think, you know, I can get that. I'm not going to rush through it, so it might get finished later on. But I think the subject that we have is something that we need to continually remind ourselves of. And I'm going to use a theological term here. The title of this sermon is The Efficacy of the Blood of Jesus. That theological term we'll define here in just a minute. But in this, what I want to talk about is there's still power in the blood. There's still power in the blood. I got three scriptures I want to open with. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's turn over there if you would, please. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll read verses 11 through 14. That'll get us started. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. I'm reading from the King James Bible, but I may take a thee or thou King James word out of it. Just change it to a more modern word. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. I mean, you know, Christ's tabernacle was not made with hands, it was made by God, just like us today. How many of you know we're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Not a physical building, but we are a spiritual building. Amen? He goes on to say, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. Everybody say once. Into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And the King James adds, for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let's go over to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, Hebrews is the outstanding New Testament book that gives us the New Testament viewpoint on Leviticus and all the different sacrifices, and it uses terms here like the sprinkling, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience because the blood was sprinkled. But how many of you know that blood of bulls and goats and that blood in the Old Testament could not save us? It could wash us, it could cover us, but not wash us clean. Amen? And so this blood is a greater blood that we're talking about, the blood of Jesus. And the last one I want us to read to begin is Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. This is a scripture I think that a lot of Pentecostals know. I never heard this verse growing up in church. Grew up in a denominational church, and, you know, I don't think anybody there understood the book of Revelation, so they never read from it. I understand it very little. Some of the word pictures in there and different things. And, you know, how does a writer, I mean, he got the revelation, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but how does a writer in that first century describe things that are going to happen in our centuries and these days? How many of you see the challenge there? Amen? But I thank God. The Bible says that whoever reads the book, the words of this book, the book of Revelation, are blessed. Is he ready to be blessed? All right, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, overcoming the devil here. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And now don't stop with those first two. I hear a lot of people, oh, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And this is three part, not two. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And what's that talking about? Jesus talked about that. Take up your cross, follow me. Lay down your life. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. See, loving not my life unto death, that means I'm all in. I'm all in, and you're all in. Glory to God. So let's talk about this word efficacy. Efficacy means the power to produce the intended result. It's effectiveness, the ability to accomplish what it was designed to do. It has the capacity and the ability to bring about the desired result. So when we talk about the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, we're referring to the inherent power and effectiveness of Christ's blood to accomplish everything God intended. How many of you know what Jesus did? His birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. That was all God's plan. The devil didn't have anything to do with it. He just played his part. Amen? That God had planned. It is not merely symbolic or historical. The blood of Jesus is fully sufficient and eternally effective. A dictionary definition, Merriam-Webster says, the power to produce an effect. The Oxford English Dictionary, and I looked these up online, the ability to produce a desired or intended result. Well, that goes along with what we're saying. But when we're talking about this in relationship to the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the unfailing, eternal effectiveness of Christ's sacrificial blood to accomplish redemption and every benefit of the new covenant. Think about this. In the scripture, the blood of Jesus is effective. It carries out because it is the only thing that obtains eternal redemption. It's the only thing that cleanses us from sin. It's the only thing that can purge our conscience. It's the only thing that can justify the believer. It's the only thing that brings us near to God. It's the only thing that provides bold access into God's presence. It's the only thing that overcomes Satan's accusations. The efficacy of the blood of Jesus is the unchanging power of Christ and his blood to accomplish everything God intended through his death, burial, and resurrection. See, the blood doesn't simply remind us of redemption, it secures it. It doesn't merely symbolize forgiveness, it accomplishes it. It doesn't merely represent victory, it guarantees it. Glory to God. It's never lost its power. It accomplished redemption at Calvary and continues to accomplish God's purpose in every believer who puts their faith in Christ. I remember reading after some writers and some historians that have looked at the great Azusa Street revival that happened in the early 1900s. William Seymour, you know, was part of a group that came out of Kansas, a lot of them, and got filled with the Spirit of God. And he went out there to Los Angeles and Azusa Street mission, and a great revival took place there. And it spread throughout the whole world. And one of the things that, how many of you know when the Spirit of God is in people and on people, you know, they speak words of prophecy, exhortation, edification, and comfort. One of the words that came forth in that was this: make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. But yet, you know, we got whole denominations taking songs about the blood out of their hymn books because they say it scares the little children. I'll tell you what children the blood of Jesus scares: the children of the devil. The blood is it's a real thing, yes, and we need to understand that Jesus shed his blood, but we can't do away with the blood. If we remove the blood, there is no redemption. If we remove the blood, there is no forgiveness. Remove the blood, there's no covenant. Remove the blood, we have no access to God. So the blood isn't just merely the means by which we enter into salvation. How many of you know it's the foundation that we live by every day? So the blood of Jesus is eternally effective. What the blood accomplished at Calvary continues today. So my first point is this: the blood was God's plan from the beginning. Let's look at this. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 with me. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, we have a very tragic and monumental event take place. Man sins, disobeys God, chooses his own way, chooses what's pleasing to his own eyes rather than doing what God said. The Bible does say the woman was deceived, but Adam was not. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he was disobeying God. The woman got deceived by the devil. But remember what happened immediately after they ate. They realized they were naked. They weren't clothed with any type of outward clothing. And what did they do? They went and found some leaves and tied those together to make clothing to cover their nakedness. How many of you have ever seen a leaf that is not on the tree any longer? What's it do? Dries up. Withers, right? But God, because God is merciful, even with those who have sinned against him, we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, that seems like a very simple statement, but let's not pass by it. Where did those skins come from? God sacrificed an animal or animals. We don't know. There's no indication that God just said, here's some clothing. No, he made them of the skins of animals there. So what happened? Those animals had to be sacrificed. Their blood had to be spilled. And so we see the very first thing that God did for mankind after they had sinned was to shed blood on their behalf. All right? The first death in Scripture occurred because of man's sin. God didn't merely cover man with leaves. He covered him with blood. And from that moment forward, every sacrifice pointed to one sacrifice. Now, we're not going to turn over there, but Exodus chapter 12 tells about the great Passover that took place. We sang, I think it was our second song tonight, we sang about that the blood is on the doorpost of our life. Remember that 10th plague was pronounced where the firstborn of all of Egypt was going to die. But God had a way. And he made a plan. If you go back there and you read, you know, he said, I'm going to send this angel is going to go through and he's going to smite all the firstborn except for this. And there were specific ways that they had to do it. He said, he provided them the idea of the Passover lamb. And they took the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of their house. And when that angel passed by, he passed over because the blood was there. Now think about this. They were not spared because they deserved it. They were spared because they were under and behind the blood. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. I mean, could you imagine standing inside of those homes and on the outside is judgment, but inside there's peace. The only thing that separated them from judgment, it wasn't a closed door. I'm sure the Egyptians had their doors closed also. It wasn't a closed door. It was the blood that was on the door. And today, nothing separates us from judgment of sin except for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. We should be thanking God for the blood at all times. Every Old Testament sacrifice then pointed to Jesus. We read there, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. We didn't read this, but we read there some scriptures about Jesus shedding his blood. But look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, over in chapter 9, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That the life of all flesh is in the blood. How many know if you didn't have any blood in your body, you're not alive, are you? Amen. There's life in there. Blood is sacred to God. Hebrews 10 verse 4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. See, those sacrifices were just reminders. Jesus became the fulfillment. Those sacrifices were types and shadows. Jesus is the Lamb. He is the Passover Lamb. John recognized him. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Think about this. How many, I don't know what the number would have been over the years, but thousands for sure. How many thousands of lambs and bulls and goats had been sacrificed, and birds and animals? How much blood? I mean, think about it. How much had that been done over the years, and none of it was able to free us from our sin. But one lamb with one sacrifice has obtained eternal redemption for us all. I love that there in Hebrews 9 where it says that neither by the blood of calves, goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I think about this. If I'm eternally redeemed, the devil's eternally defeated. Amen? Glory to God. But once, not every year, when that high priest went into that Holy of Holies, he went in there and only could obtain a temporary redemption. Not the redemption that we have. It's the blood of Jesus that purchases eternal redemption. Not temporary. Not a season. Well, it's the Passover season. It wasn't a seasonal redemption. Not a yearly redemption. It's eternal redemption. Glory to God. And the work never has to be repeated. Jesus has finished that work. Now, sometimes when you say Jesus has finished his work, you think, well, he's not doing anything today. And that's not true. That's not true. Jesus is doing something today. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's at the right hand of God. The Bible says he's our advocate. Advocate of what? In the court of heaven. He stands. Amen. How many of you know every time that the devil tries to accuse you, Jesus presents evidence of your freedom? His shed blood. You know, not only did he shed his blood here on the earth, the Bible tells us that Jesus went into the very heavenly holy of holies with his blood and cleansed that. Man's sin had effect in heaven. And Jesus went and cleansed that. Glory to God, the sacrifice is complete. Aren't you glad Jesus did not purchase you a temporary relationship with God? He purchased an eternal one. Hallelujah. Have any of you ever paid off a loan? Paid off a loan? You know, it gets stamped and, you know, paid in full. I know here just recently we just paid off a car. And glory to God. Don't have any car payments right now. I learned this from Pastor Bill. Ain't no ride like a paid off ride. Woo! Say, well, how many miles? It don't matter how many miles it's got on it. Ain't no money going anywhere. Amen. I'm going to put a whole lot more miles on them. Glory to God. But when that's paid, you know, it's paid in full. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. It's written in his blood. Paid in full. The debt of sin that we owed has forever been satisfied. What was that debt? Our death. Our blood. See, Jesus shed his blood so we don't have to. And his blood was sinless blood. If I was, you know, how many people had been martyred? How many people had been put to death even for the cause of Christ? How many people had died? Not one of those person, one of those people, their death didn't pay for their sin. Didn't solve anything but the blood of Jesus. One of the great, great things that happens because of the blood of Jesus is that the blood cleanses the conscience. Now, here's an important point, you know, because there's a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ that have received forgiveness, but they still live in condemnation, still living under the bondage that. And you realize this, you know, I didn't give it to you guys, but I know you're so good up there. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Give our media team a big hand clap right now. They're so awesome. I didn't make these slides, that's for sure. There'd be stick figures up there. That's about what I can draw. All right? We have a great team here. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you realize that condemnation is not of God? Let me say it again. Condemnation is not of God. And so if I'm feeling condemned, then that's not that feeling, and those thoughts aren't coming from God. Now, I could be having those myself. I mean, some folks, bless their hearts, they've got their minds so messed up with the pathways they've built in their life that they just condemn themselves. No one has to condemn them. They just condemn themselves. Everything everything they do, well, you know me, everything I do is wrong, and they just, you know, live in that squalor. We don't have to live that way, though, I'm telling you. There's freedom from that. But then again, the devil wants to condemn us. He wants to condemn you. He wants to tell you that, you know, everybody else can get it but you. Because of what you did, you no good, dirty, rotten thing, you. Amen. But there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now, you may miss it. You may not walk in love that time. Well, repent. Amen. Ask God. Tell God, you know, tell God you did wrong. He knows it already. But tell him you did wrong. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did you do? When you don't walk in love, what have we done? We've committed an act of unrighteousness. That doesn't mean we're not the righteousness of God in Christ, because that's because of our relationship in Christ. And when you don't walk in love, doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. It's just you committed an act of unrighteousness. Amen. It's a whole nother lesson. But you know, James 1 says we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and our own desires. How many know that? I shouldn't, you know, how many of you would testify with me? Your flesh has desires. Oh, some of you are so holy sitting out there. No, not my flesh, brother. Not my flesh. I'll guarantee you, if you haven't already, even if you have, your flesh is going to tell you you need something before you go to bed tonight. I'm going to tell you that. It's going to say, I need something to drink. Feed me. Pamper me. Do it. Right? It has desires. Nothing wrong with God-given desire, but we have to sanctify those desires, right? There in Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's not just our actions, it's our conscience. The voice of our spirit man, the voice of the inner man. See, listen, don't just live forgiven. Live free. And that's what the blood of Jesus does. It removes the guilt. The devil keeps trying to remind us of our failures and of all these things, but those things are all forgiven. God reminds us of the blood. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know, people we encounter all the time, there are some people that need forgiveness. They've never received the forgiveness that is in the blood of Jesus. But others need freedom from the burden of remembering what God has already forgotten. Somebody said, I heard one time talking about how the Bible says that he's cast our sin into the depths of the sea. Now somebody named that sea the Sea of Forgetfulness. I thought that was in the Bible. You know that's not in the Bible? I thought that was in the Bible, the Sea of Forgetfulness, you know. But it's not there. But I will say this, quit fishing in that sea. Quit throwing your net out there trying to drag up your past. Amen. Well, now, brother, I'm the way I am today because of my past. You got born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new and all things are of God. Why would you want to go back and deal with those things that are not of God that's already you've already been delivered from? Well, it's my, you know, I'm this way because of how somebody treated me. That's in the past. Amen. I'm going to quote, now you ladies weren't here, but I'm going to quote one of the speakers at one of our Call to Arms men's conferences. You might have heard of him, John Hagee. He preached a whole sermon, and you could sum up the whole sermon in this one phrase, get over it. That was his message. Get over it. But I'll tell you this, I know this with me. I won't talk about you, let's talk about me. In order for me to get over it, I got to get over Tad. I got to get over my right that I think I have to feel bad about how I was treated. Amen. Now, I had other people tell me how bad I was treated. I was just, you know, I grew up in playing lots of sports, you know, and just pressure to win and all that and be the, you know, and all that. And so I didn't even notice it, really, after a while. Didn't even notice it. But you know what? Not one of those things. I've never gone back to one play that I messed up or one time I got yelled at by a coach. I've never gone back to that ever, since I become a Christian and thought, that's why I'm this way because of the, you know. I don't have time to think about that's why I'm this way. I'm going on with Christ. Just look at your neighbor right now and tell him, get over yourself. Some of you enjoyed that too much, I'm telling you. Amen. You know, there's a whole movement right now. A whole movement. It's worldwide. It's worldwide in psychology. That your problems today are all your parents' fault. And they're toxic, so you have to cut off all relationship from the toxic people in your life. Well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you had the love of God shed abroad in your heart. I thought you could do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I thought you were more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved you. I thought you were the agent of healing, not the agent of toxicity. Ooh, that's a big word for me. No. Now, listen, that doesn't mean I'm not hanging around and sinning with sinners. But Jesus, they called Jesus, one of the things they wanted to accuse him of was being a friend of sinners. Now think about it. We were the sinners that Jesus befriended. Aren't you glad? How many of you know Jesus didn't die for us when we were his friends? He died for us when we were God's enemies. He shed his blood for the enemies of God. That blood gives us bold access into God's presence. You know, under the old covenant, the high priest could only go in one time a year. Now every believer comes boldly. Back there in Hebrews 10, we read it, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice here something. Here's something very important. Not by my performance. Not by my own holiness. Not because I'm so spiritual. Not because I prayed enough. Not because I've fasted enough. No, it's because of the blood of Jesus. You know, this is the second time in this book he tells us to come boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Come boldly. Why? How come we can be bold? Because the blood's been shed. Not only has it been shed, the blood's been applied. And there's a new and living way, the way of the blood. Do you remember when God came down to Abram, and Abram said, hey, God, what are you going to give me, seeing I am childless? How will I know, you know, that this you're going to make your covenant with me? And God said, look up in the stars. Can you number the stars? No. How about the sand of the sea? You know, he said, your descendants are going to be that many. And he told him, he said, go out and get you a heifer. And he told him exactly how to cut it. It was a different kind of cut. It wasn't a cut to eat it. It was a cut to kill it. He cut it in half and it laid open. And produced a that blood flowed, it was cut that way so the blood of that animal would flow in the middle. And then he had to wait there for a while. And the birds of the air came to try to eat the sacrifice, and he had to run them off. But then God put him in a deep sleep because he was going to appear to him. And God came down and walked in the midst of that animal. In covenant societies, that pathway of the walk is called the way of the blood. Blood covenant is the most binding agreement, the most binding thing that can ever be done between two people. And God cut that covenant. And there was the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. I don't know if it wasn't just Jesus and God himself right there. God the Father, God the Son. Could have been. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can go to Blockbuster and rent the video. I don't know. How many of you got a lot of videos from the Bible you want to watch? You want to see that happen? Amen. But they walked in the midst of it. Walked in it. That blood. And here we are to walk into heaven itself by a new and living way that he has consecrated for us. Our confidence is in the blood. Our confidence is in Christ. Amen. You know, think about it. What if someone was to hand you permanent credentials that you could go in the White House here, where the President of the United States is in the offices, you could go in there anytime. Now think about it. You might think, well, I must be pretty special. But you're not going in there because it's you. You're going in there because someone with authority gave you access. The blood is heaven's credential given to us by Jesus Christ, that we can go into an office greater than the White House. We can go into the heavenly Holy of Holies, into the very throne room of God and commune with God because of the blood. I'll make this my last point tonight. The blood speaks better things. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me, please. Verse 24 says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, I want you to notice, this is several years after Jesus has died. But I want you to notice, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but whoever wrote it, it's inspired of God. The thought there is, that blood's still speaking. You notice that? Even Abel's blood still speaking. That's kind of interesting. But that blood of Jesus is still speaking. Now we know Abel was killed by his brother Cain. I heard a guy saying the other day, that the first murder happened with only four people on the earth. One guy killed 25% of the population. He said, the world hasn't become evil. The world has been evil since man got put out of the garden. Amen? But Abel's blood cried out for justice. It cried out for, revenge. But Jesus' blood cries for mercy. Because of Abel's blood and the blood was shed that should be shed by us, judgment is demanded. But Jesus' blood declares redemption. And this is so important. So important that you understand, and I want to leave us with this tonight. Every time that the Father looks at us, he sees us through the finished work of Christ and the blood that's been shed on our behalf. Every time he sees you. Every time. Every time. So if he sees us that way, let's look at things from his perspective. Start seeing yourself from his perspective. And when things in life seem to be lining up against you, step up into a higher place. For there is a place. It's a place of the Spirit. It's a place with God. That's why we're invited to come to the throne of God. To come and see things from his perspective. And to see our life and the circumstances of our life from a new way. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood still speaks today. It speaks, you're healed. It speaks, you're redeemed. It speaks, you're free. That blood, the blood of Jesus, speaks to us today. And is speaking better things than any blood that's ever been shed. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let's all stand up together tonight. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you as we study this, Lord God, that you help us. Give us revelation. Remind us of the importance. Father, we want to make much of the blood. We make much of the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us never lose our consciousness of that blood shed for us, that blood shed for our redemption. Father, we give you praise and honor tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our prayer team's coming down tonight. If you need prayer for anything, they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Just come on down. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were talking in the back. I told Pastor Bill, I said, hey, next Sunday night, you're kicking off camp meeting. Amen? And he may not stop at 7. I just want you to know. Next Sunday night. I know we've kind of got ourselves conditioned on Sunday nights to stop at 7. But next Sunday's camp meeting. Amen? Glory to God. Come expecting. Hey, bring your amen machine. Because Pastor Bill, he'll get to where he needs to get if we can amen a few times. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know you're excited. It's going to be a great week. This is going to be a great week because why? The blood has been shed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Guys, anything we're missing tonight? All right. God bless you. Love on somebody before you leave tonight. Let them know you're glad to know them in Jesus' name. Amen.